Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show, episode 16, I'm guessing, 17-ish, Requiem for Dembe.
You're tuning into the destination for TV super fan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Just turn around now. You're not welcome anymore.
Oh, disco.
It's a disco. Welcome to the Blacklist AfterBuzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. That's Gloria Gaynor. And to my left is the lovely Julia Carolee.
Hi.
Hi. You're in character. Are you Gloria Gaynor or are you Kate?
I mean, Kate?
I'm sorry. Yes, Kate.
I'm a little bit of everyone today.
All right. Kate. What's Kate's last name?
Nemec.
Kate. Nemec.
Yeah.
What a action-packed power.
Holy cannoli.
Power, I mean, not necessarily action-packed, but just what a powerhouse couple of episodes of The Blacklist we had just recently. Like, you know, I'll be the first one to say, I talked a whole lot of shit. You didn't talk any shit. You, of course. No. You, of course, were perfectly,
I'm always such a flower.
Perfectly happy with the show as it existed.
At all times.
I, on the other hand, may or may not have talked a lot of shit about the show and where it was going and how I was feeling about it. And I don't know if this hiatus, know what this hiatus did. I don't know if this was a planned hiatus. I don't know what happened, but these two episodes were not only some of the most well-written episodes across the board, just structurally and informationally, but there... What was that, Steve? There we go.
Hi.
Action-packed episodes from an informational standpoint, but the acting was also superb.
Oh, yes.
And then the takeaways. I mean, finally, every time I watch The Blacklist, I'm like, I watch every, you know, it's, every time they answer a question, they give me 15 more questions. And what about that one thing? What about the fulcrum? And how come the thing? And where's the fire and the bunny? Nothing makes any sense. And now.
It's starting to.
It kind of all makes sense almost to me.
Just about.
It's like 80, I think it 88% makes sense.
88? Oh,
88%.
I mean, I still have some questions, but this was the most satisfying 2 hours of my Blacklist career as of yet.
I'm going to go out.
My goodness. Yeah. Oh, please.
I'm
going to
say.
What do you got?
That Requiem was probably the best Blacklist episode of the series.
Better than Kate May?
Ah. I'm gonna say yes.
It's when they do these.
I'm gonna say yes.
It's when they go off book, you know.
It's the bottle episode ish.
Yeah, kinda. when they sit there and they're able to really do like a deep dive into who these characters are and the worlds in which they live and the walls that they're building up around them and how they're dealing with things emotionally. That's when I'm like, the show's amazing.
Oh yeah, Joe Semple will call me and he's actually Joe's not here, but he will be here I believe next week, and I'm not gonna say he's not going to be here anymore, but he will be. He thinks that this episode, both these episodes were so good because there were very little of one particular FBI agent.
I didn't say it.
And I said, Joe, you can't say that on the air. He's like, it's a good thing because I'm not coming in today.
Well,
I would never say such a thing.
I would never.
All right. But anyway, we digress. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. I mean,
good stuff.
We already kind of thought, here's what, I mean, we're going to get to both episodes. We're going to cover both episodes. We're going to talk about Mr. Dembe Zumba. Zuma, sorry, Zumba is actually something else over there. Dembe Zumba.
I don't know. Is that what they do in Zumba?
That's Ask Lola.
Wear the, no. Is she Zumba?
She Zumbas. Oh. I used to Zumba, but she's a diehard Zumba.
All right.
So I don't know. Anyway, Dembe Zumba and Requiem. The Dembe Zumba episode was also great and very satisfying in its own right. But Requiem, man. So. As fascinating as Mr. Kaplan already was, the second she came on the scene, she was an instant fan favorite. We all loved her. Mm-hmm. We loved the idea that she was Mr. Kaplan. She's so mysterious. Mm-hmm. We loved her demeanor. Everything about her like was fantastic. And to have a backstory that lives up to the mystery of what Mr. Kaplan is a pretty incredible magic trick, because you could have just left it. The backstory be the backstory. Who knows? She's a mystery. It's better that way. But when they fill that in, it was super satisfying and wonderful. That's what that sounds great. I'm very happy.
I concur.
I concur.
100%. The journey we've been on with Mr. Kaplan from the first time that she graced our screens until now in Requiem, with amazing casting of Joanna Adler.
Man.
My God.
Joanna Adler.
Like,
guest star Emmy for Joanna Adler.
For sure.
So great.
She was incredible. But she's always been a fascinating character in her sort of quietness and willingness to help, and her devotion to Red, and just made no sense. But not that it didn't make sense. You believed it. You just didn't really have to ask many questions just because she was so believable.
Right.
But now, like, the stakes are so heightened. They're so high that everything that she did with, you know, faking Lizzie's death and sending them off to Cuba, like, everything just makes so much sense. It's her awakening as a character as well. Instead of a blind follower, her awakening of her original purpose.
Exactly. Now let's get back to that. Let's go back even further to Dembe Zuma, because when we last left the Blacklist 8 weeks ago,
my God, it's been 8 weeks.
Yeah, 8 weeks ago, Red had drank a bad glass of scotch.
Yeah.
Not feeling so well.
Not feeling so hot.
And he
lost some time.
He's a little poisoned, he thought, by Dembe.
And he Dembe handed him the glass, didn't he?
Handed him the glass and broke out, which begs the question.
Mm.
If Dembe didn't poison him, was Kaplan trying to kill him?
I don't know. I was thinking about that.
And I'm not going to get into logistics of how Kaplan got the poison in the glass.
Yeah.
Was it her? Was it one of her surrogates? How many surrogates she has? My man on the Zamboni.
Zamboni.
Whatever. Zamboni or Zamboni?
Zamboni.
I don't know anything about hockey. Or ice skating. The Zamboni. What's a Zamboni?
I don't know.
It's like a sandwich.
It does.
Like, get the fare.
I'm so hungry.
I want a Zamboni extra rye. Extra salami, please. Anyway.
A little melted mozzarella.
So.
Big deal. Thank you.
She's got my man on the Zamboni. She's got old crotchety crossbow dude.
Oh my God, I love him. I love him.
We'll get to him in a
second. Blind devotion from him.
And she picked up that grifter, that drifter guy.
Which guy?
The guy who came to the door of the trailer.
The guy who wanted the cigarettes?
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
I don't know.
What happened to him?
I don't know. Anyway.
I was thinking about that. What
bottom line is, she's got the cop, the lady cop.
Yeah.
Who she got a very, so who poisoned, how'd that happen? Do we care?
We don't know. I don't think we really care.
I don't think we care.
No.
We presume it was Kaplan, but is Kaplan trying to kill Red?
I mean,
or is,
like,
she trying to take Red down?
I thought that she was trying to take him down. I mean,
I want to poke holes early in a great,
no,
such great episode.
In a great episode.
Two episodes, but I'm just curious.
I don't know. I really don't have the answer to that. I've been wondering it, but I'm decided to let it go.
Fine. I will do the same.
Okay.
Let it go the same. I didn't even check on our folks in the old...
Oh, yeah. Can we get that up?
Yeah, I don't know. Steve, can we put a...
Thanks, ma'am.
On the screen, because I can't get it on my computer. But thank you for watching us on YouTube and watching us YouTube delayed and live. If any of you are there live, because we are so late.
So late. It's the story of our lives.
And we apologize. And also you listening on iTunes. Thank you very much. So... Last week, he drank the scotch. He was bad. So this episode opens, and Dembe is presumably on the run. It's been a month later. Right?
It's a month later. Red has been searching for him to no avail.
Yes, and the FBI's in on it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's searching for the guy.
And where is he?
Well, he's outside of Aram's shower.
Yes,
because
he is.
Aram is taking a shower, doing his thing.
He's back with Janet.
You know what? I'm not mad.
Slash Elise.
I'm not mad at my boy Amir. Looking kind of good in the shower.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him.
I didn't know that you got so in shape tapping on the old keyboard.
No, today. Well, he does ride his bike everywhere.
And then
leans a guy out.
And he's not, exactly, and he's not alone.
No. Nope.
Because in steps old hacky face. that's a term of endearment for it. What's wrong with saying hacky face?
Old hacky face. That's so good. Janet Elise. I know.
So she comes in. Sorry. She comes in. They look at you. She makes me laugh. Hacky Face comes in the shower, which is fantastic. Stop it.
Bye.
And
He wonders how she got in. She says the door was unlocked. He's like, wait a second. I always locked the door. Lo and behold.
It's Dembe.
But I mean, he was stoned, so.
Well, let's not gloss over
it. Let's not gloss over that big old bong hanging out on his dining room table.
Paraphernalia.
Oh my God.
Bong, weed. He had the whole thing going up there.
He's having a lovely evening.
And Boy Scout wrestler didn't even blink. He's like, of course, the vibe is cool. But do you think wrestler would have something to say?
You'd think.
Looks like he's having a good time. Or whatever. Something. That's my wrestler. It's a wonder he gets anything done all day. He's smoking the wacky tobacco. I'm wrestler. That's what wrestler would call it. Anyway, so, you know, that we do all that.
Rich dad.
So he gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
Dembe takes him. He needs Aram's help to sort of get to the bottom of what's going on with Red. He needs to
prove his innocence.
He takes him to get the information. He realizes that he can't hack into the thingy because it's too complicated. And one of the top 10 saddest moments of the Blacklist was very, very sad, dejected Dembe.
Oh, dejected Dembe kicking rocks and sitting on a stoop.
He just plopped down, and Bauta said, "You can go." I'm like, no.
Oh.
Even Aram was like,
Dembe,
I don't
want to go. Hey, guys.
How you doing? Marvin TNT, Watson Keane, Sazzy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, times 1, Simone Francois. Nice to see you all.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for joining us live.
What about Aram's blind devotion to Red? Every time he's like, this is for Mr. Reddington, right?
Okay, then I'll do it.
It's for Mr. Reddington. Right, Dembe?
Yes, it is.
Your African accent.
I got
Can
one.
Can you do that for the rest of the show?
I don't know. I'm doing my best.
That was a perfect Dembe, Joe B. Golden toe.
And I wore my black shirt in honor of Dembe. all right. So, yeah. So, that was a sweet little moment, though.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what? You know, and in the very Aram fashion, he walks away and he's like, damn it.
Okay, maybe there's one other way.
So we go in, and then one of my second favorite Blacklist universe duo next to
Tom and Solomon.
Tom and Solomon.
Dembe and Aram.
Dembe and Aram.
All day long.
And Aram goes into full undercover mode. He's flashing badges. He's talking stuff. He's yelling at Dembe. Says, "You better call me sir."
I love the sir.
That was great.
I like it.
That was good stuff.
It was really good.
So you get in there, and they do the thing, and they find the name.
And the name is?
Kate.
Catherine. Catherine Nemec.
Nemec. Which in that moment, of course, we all knew was Mr. Kate. Did you know that moment was Mr. Kate?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So,
of course. Gone since 1991.
Oh, mysteriously. So, that's a good point. That's a good point that, Watson Keane brought up. Our boy Baz is promoted.
Boz, yeah.
Boz. Baz?
Boz.
Boz or Baz? It's Boz. Boz. All right. Boz is... all right, fine. That's all right, Watson Keane.
It works.
Boz is promoted.
Yeah.
To head bodyguard.
Well, someone's got to do it.
What's Boz going to do when Dembe comes back?
I don't know.
He'll be kicking... Dejected Boz.
He'll be sitting on the stoop.
Kicking rocks.
Dembe. It was a nice while it lasted.
I have no idea what Boz... No idea what Boz sounds like. By the way, you know who has the second best job in all of television next to our boy toy Trevor, who just sits there shirtless in bed?
On Redemption, yeah.
Yeah. It's Dembe. He says 5 words a season, and he's amazing. And he's just getting in there, being Dembe, collecting them Blacklist checks. I'm not mad at them all.
Oh, God, no.
Third best job, Boz. Chris Christopherson. Chris wears the ponytail, comes in, says like 3 words a season.
Kick some ass.
And it's just...
Collects a paycheck. Nice, big, fat
NBC
paycheck.
So, yeah. That's fine. So they help each other. He gets the name. He wants to, find out for sure. So, he goes off to the woods, presumably to see if the body's dead. Dembe goes out there. The body's not there, but he gets a nice crossbow arrow to the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And from our old guy. Does he have a name?
Hunty guy.
Hunty? Crossbones, it's Hacky Face and Hunty.
And Hunty guy.
Tonight on NBC.
Hacky Face and Hunty.
So they go off. I mean, so there's like a nice little sort of fight thing there. And Dinbei pulls the thing out.
Mm-hmm.
Six the guy, runs.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Red.
Also calls Red. Or well, Red calls him because Red tracks down his daughter.
Right, because Liz. I do want to bring up Glenn because that was some good.
Glenn.
Some good Glenn stuff there.
He's the best.
You know, and he knew anything, the black fella, whatever.
Big black guy waiting on your hand on foot. What do you call very Edgar Rice Burroughs?
Very Edgar Rice Burroughs, which is just fantastic. And I'm sorry, it was Hunty guy who called him the black fella and the guy with the hat came to get you. That was then both of them made me laugh, too. It was cute. Anyway, so he finds out from Glenn in two scenes. One involved the ass. The second involved a driver's ed, of course, going awry. Very funny times.
I love that scene, Peter. It's in the backseat of the driver's ed.
I loved it all. I will say this. I think Megan Boone looks fantastic these days. I think Liz looks great. Her hair is all grown out.
Yeah.
She's got her outfit on, her boots and stuff.
She looks great.
I think she looks great. That's all. Anyway, they're in the back seat. They don't, doing the thing. He gets the information. They get out of there. He decides to go pay a trip to Dembe's
daughter and granddaughter.
Does that. And that's a very interesting scene because it was just weird. There was so much unsaid there. It was this weird moment of like, are you here for my dad? No. Does your dad know you're looking for him? No, does your dad want you to find him?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. But I need to get in contact with him.
Yeah.
It's a weird moment there where it's like, I'm not directly threatening you. I would kind of never hurt you. But don't make me even hint at a guy that would have to threaten you. Just give me the phone.
Yeah.
And she just kind of was like, ugh. She didn't give him the like, you'll never do anything to my dad. It was kind of like,
well, he went to great lengths to find her.
Because, she just said, like, all this time when my dad was protecting me from someone, I never thought it'd be you.
It wasn't supposed to be. It's not what it is.
But give me the phone.
Yeah.
It was like a weird.
But this is like beyond your pay grade, yet kid.
Menacing situation. Yeah. So gives him the phone, calls them, made them as like, yo, I'm in trouble. Crossbow guy just shot me in the leg.
She's not here.
Yes.
And then shoot in the leg. Ah!
Ah, drops the phone.
Crunches the phone up.
Yep. Well, he steps on it.
Well, the guy does.
Yeah.
The dude does. Hunty face.
Hunty face steps in the phone. Red is really concerned.
Yep.
He asks.
He calls him Rom.
Rom says, I don't know, some chick named Catherine
Nemec.
Does that mean anything to you, Red? And Red's face turns white.
Oh, so good.
Which is great. And that little monologue he gave Liz in the car, I mean, was one of the top three Red monologues. Only made better by his acting partner's reactions.
Why the fuck was she crying? I was so pissed off.
Take it easy. Whoa.
Or what was her line? I'm like, oh, I said, oh, God. Oh, good God. Why the F is Lizzie crying?
She said.
That scene, like, it was such a beautiful, awesome scene, a great monologue, yes. But it just made no sense for her to be, tears running down her face. Can the score be even now? Can this be over? I was like, shut up. Get out of the car. What are you even doing here?
All right. Well, I didn't think it was that bad,
but I
will reserve a comment. But one of the better monologues. But something about that scene.
His monologue was amazing.
I know
he was fantastic.
All right. So, something about that. I thought, take it easy. That's my job to pound a table in this thing. I'm the table poundy guy. I don't get it. You're right. I don't know either. But like, I thought of you though. I'm like, oh. Oh, Julia. Oh, Lizzie Keene. Why are you doing this to poor Julia? Julia's somewhere in the depths of Wood Ranch, like right now, screaming into the air. Anyway, beautiful scene. They go to the woods to find her.
Julia's over the edge.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
It was too much for me.
Yes. great it's okay. monologue. He's some really it. Wonderful things in yes. there. Do you have any of the stuff that he said? Because I don't know.
No.
Any of the red stuff. It was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
It
stuff.
Was beautiful.
He went out. They go out. Him, Boz, and Red go out to find Dempe. They find him pretty quickly, actually.
Well, they know where
he is. They know where he is. And,
where he killed her.
He, you know, Red puts the tourniquet on, the faux tourniquet, get him to a hospital, make sure it's tight. And then he pulls off the gun. I got to go find this guy. I thought that was kind of cool looking. You know, him and Boz go to find old Hunty guy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of trickery going on in that sequence right trickery. There. I think they'll fame where
switcheroo the hats.
I tell you what, my man is nice with that crossbow, though.
Yeah.
Woo! He's like, pop, pop. It seems like a little, not the most efficient weapon, especially against a couple of Glocks.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta reload the thing, gotta cock it, the tension right, gotta aim. But he took out Dembe and Boz, and by the way, Red, two of the finest bodyguards around, both got taken out by crossbow Hunty guy. So that guy, maybe consider having crossbow Hunty guy if he wasn't dead as your new bodyguard. Anyway, I digress. Takes out Boz. They do the old switcheroo with the hat and the beanie, mm-hmm. and confuses him. And then Red does his move.
Mm-hmm.
They take him back to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Red does another kind of a quippy monologue, and then threatens him a lot with a gun to his head, and gives him the phone. A lot of theatrics, by the way. Why don't you go in there and hit and blow him up? A lot of theatrics involved in that. If your plan, Hunty guy, was to get Red and Boz back to the place just so you could blow the place up.
I don't know if his plan was to kill Red. I think that he's reserving that for Mr. Kaplan, for Kate, for Katie. All
right. Well, he did do the bomb thing, and
but, you know, he's a guy who liked to live off the grid, and now he's been extremely exposed, and his life as he knows it is now over, so.
Well, they get out of there.
Might as well go out in a blaze of glory.
Shit blows up. I thought that was a cool moment. The reveal is, we do the message they left earlier again for Kate, and we see that Kate is alive and well.
And lock and load, Katie. Your war is coming.
That was good.
He loved her.
Yeah, he loved her.
People are really devoted to her.
But what?
Red was right.
But what happened? Like, so, she takes care of her. He nurses her back to health. She lays a little wrap on him. And then that's it. He's loyal. He's going to lay down his life for her.
She was there for a while.
All right. They got to know each other,
I guess.
And well, she's a lesbian.
She's a lesbian. I don't think she is, really.
All right. Well, that's sweet. Kate. That's good. That's good news.
That's good news.
All right. So, yeah. So that's that. So that's at the end of Hunty Guy. So
that's the end of Hunty Guy.
I mean, I guess that's a good way to get rid of him, because it was a weird storyline. Like, she's in the woods.
Yeah, he served his purpose.
I don't wonder what's the backstory on this guy.
Yeah, we don't
he's off
know.
The grid.
He had her chained up.
Just blow him up. Clean slate.
Clean slate. Start right, fresh.
Fine. No, not mad, John Bogenkamp. Whatever you say. So
served his purpose.
But we're getting to the truth here. And so Dembe is exonerated, innocent. Mm-hmm. Rom is exonerated. That wonderful sequence with Rom and Harold saying, "You better be right, because this one's on you, Rom."
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Goo." And then, that's what Rom did. And then he went, "Goo."
Goo.
And then,
goo.
On top of everything else, we had a little bit of a love triangle situation going on with Navabi.
With Navabi and Janet. And Janet called her out, which I liked.
Did like. She tried to have a little gal talk, just try to, like, you know,
get it out. We're in the same guy.
Gal to gal.
You want to talk about that?
She's having it. Then Aram comes back in a very, I think a very nicely, well-acted scene. A little Search for Tomorrow, soap opera.
Yeah, it's
Search
okay.
For Tomorrow? I'm old.
I don't even know what that is. I was going to let it go.
It's a soap opera.
Really?
From the 70s.
Ooh.
Search for Tomorrow. Anyway, a little Days of Our Lives. Is that on?
Like Sense right. of the Hourglass.
And it's also NBC. Little Days of Our Lives. When he's like, you know, sometimes I can't be.
I'm intimidated by. Yeah. You know, if we get too close, I don't know what that would do to me.
So
and
that's what my deal is. And she's like, I don't
guess
care.
Guess what? I don't care.
Boom. Mic drop. Elevator close. Bing.
Enjoy hacky
going
face.
Going down.
She sobs.
That's right. Go. Enjoy hacky face.
Enjoy hacky face. Also, there was a chick who wore bees, but we're really not going to even talk about her.
That's true. That's true.
That's but let's move on then.
So that's Dembe. I don't know. It was cool. Yeah, I agree. Hell Hath No Fury, Golden Toe.
Mm-hmm.
Navabi is in love with Aram, Cassandra, and I think Aram's in love with Navabi, and I think it'll be very satisfying when they finally do get together. I don't understand the love triangle either, Zazu. Aram
I like Aram and Janet.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I like him too, but
I mean, I'm sure I would like a Rama Navabi too. I'm you know, let him get his kicks.
I mean, hey.
Hey.
Maybe there's a world. Never mind.
What, Joey? I don't know. What, Brezzy? What happens in this world?
Don't know.
So, okay.
There's just three people involved.
Oh.
All right, so next, moving on to Requiem.
Requiem
is great. We get so we
a freaking plus Requiem.
It's a plus. It's a Blacklist masterpiece. This is the best episode of the Blacklist.
This and Kate May.
So we it opens when they
not having it.
Not having it. Opens on a very, very young Kaplan that we don't know it's Kate yet. She's a young girl, but it's 1962, mm-hmm. So it seems to be right. Watching, you know, her dead mother and her father is giving him some advice. But I love the inn where she puts on her glasses.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the real life Kate, the present day Kate. That was a really sweet touch. So, by the way, Kate's out there. She's driving an Airstream around town, mm-hmm. a big truck. She's on a mission. Now time has passed for her too. It's been a month since the old poisoning.
The poisoning incident, but it's been a long time since she's been shot.
And as Red said,
a long time.
She's been very busy.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a lot of.
Well, if you think about it, this has been just under a year, because Agnes is about to turn one, as yes. we saw at the end of
That's right.
of Redemption.
That's right.
Tom was going home for her birthday party.
That's right.
And Spagnus was in Cuba when she was just a little teeny tiny baby. So let's say this like 10 months.
Since she got shot.
Since she's been shot. And she's been working her magic, her big fat web.
So
taking down Red.
We get the full origin story, the full backstory of Mr. Kaplan,
mm-hmm.
starting in 1962.
Their dead mom.
Jumping ahead to the 80s. And then, and it was all exquisitely written, and it all made a hell of a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. It's not, because sometimes you'll try to string some shit together, and you try to connect some dots. Sometimes, as Joe Flippo loves to say, these writers write themselves in the corners, and I don't know what these writers are doing. If I was a writer, wait, they don't write. But if I was one, that was the dig. All right, but that's my favorite thing when Joe Flippo goes in a rant. I'm like, you know, the thing with these writers, they just got to learn how to write. Anyway.
So write it, Flip.
Write it, Flip. Anyway, sometimes they do write themselves in a corner to go Joe Flippo, and they have a lot of plot they've got out there and a lot of things going on, and like it's sort of like, how the hell they can get out of this? And she shot Kaplan, and she's crawling around, you know, in the woods, and it almost feels like that's what the show's doing. The show, The Blacklist, is, you know, crawling in the woods, searching for something. And they took a break and came back
and found
just
it.
Fucking bullseye.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Kaplan, turns out, she, you know, went to get a job as a governess or nanny or whatever you'd like to call it with the great Katerina Rostova.
God, she's beautiful.
She is.
No wonder everybody falls beautiful. In love with her.
I was in love
everybody
too.
Falls in love with her.
I was in love to jump to the TV and be a spy.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know.
Fun.
So, until she kills you.
No, oh, yeah, until that. It's bound to happen.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Sacrifices must be made.
That's what it is.
Some things are worth it.
The job she does. So, go ahead, buddy.
I was just thinking, everybody falls in love with Katerina. They'll do anything for her, just the same way they do for Lizzie Keene.
Hey, man, it's hereditary. Whatever's going on with that Lizzie.
Golden vagina. I said it before. I'll say it again. Apparently, she inherited it from Mama.
The Russian spy vagina.
Yeah.
You mean, I'm quoting you.
Is that what I said?
I don't know. All right. Anyway, Katerina is irresistible. She's lovely. She's doing her, you know, doing her thing. She has the baby, and we presume she lives there with Alexander Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love even just her like reading through her file and her resume, and just even just like those little bits of backstory just made so much sense.
How
you were a med student at Northwestern, and you dropped out.
Of course.
Why did you do that? My Waterloo were the cadavers. Oh, pretty gruesome. No, I loved him a little too much.
Yes.
And then on to, so I went into child development because I think that's what her master's is in. Because that is, I was like, done, sold.
I mean,
got it. Thank
usually,
you.
Usually.
I feel so good about this.
Usually when someone says, when the script or the TV show or the film says, hey, Julia,
yes,
give
Joe.
Me some exposition, explain your whole backstory, tie this up. It's like,
oh,
always terrible. This was perfect.
Precise, to the point, and fitting.
And so, and
so I think,
and with just a few lines, it totally defined, mm-hmm. you know, everything we think we knew about Kim, Mr. Kaplan. So then, and we had no idea that she was the caretaker of Masha.
Had no idea, but it made so much sense.
So much sense. So then, and then the way that whole bit about you can never love her says also said a lot about Katarina.
Yeah, that was interesting. You can never love her. You were here to provide continuity of care.
Right. And also,
I want you to observe how I hold her, how I feed her, how I interact with her. So when I'm not here, you do it exact same way, but you cannot love her.
Yes. And what's interesting about that is, you know, what is, there's that little bit of like that, those rules in place. When down the road, Katarina is so emotional and Mr. Kate and Katarina get so close. Mm-hmm. It's, and she says, I love you at the end.
Yes.
It is such a huge payoff.
Yes.
And that moment she says, as my friend, maybe my best friend.
My best friend.
Oh, no.
I, like, part of me was like, oh, is she in love with her too? But it was her best friend. And you know, that's the type of love.
Yeah.
I love my best friend.
But I think, oh, that was great. So, you know, we get the backstory. So in the future, in present day, Mr. Kaplan, we see just her going around doing stuff. We don't know what she's doing. She's on a mission. She's looks like, well, we want to see her pull out some freeze-dried bodies.
Present-day Kate.
I'm sorry, present-day okay. Kate. Thank you, I messed up. Present-day Kate is doing a bunch of stuff on a mission. She's got a nasty, nasty scar back there she's got going on. And, yeah, it's a lot. Past Kate, we see her with a young Lizzie, a young Masha. And I tell you what, she does look like a little bit like Lizzie Keene, the young
Masha. I can see
she
it.
Does. Except for in the eyes. Her eyes are full of life. Full of the life of a child. I'm sorry. No, but yeah, the child is very, very good casting on baby Lizzie, too. Or young Lizzie. So well, the first thing we see is there's a kerfuffle in the kitchen that we think is going to be Alexander, but it's not Alexander. It's another dude.
Some dude.
Not Red, not Alexander, but some dude. Now, who the hell was that dude?
Some guy.
Just some dude? On a mission.
Yeah.
It's her doing spy shit.
Yeah.
Doing spy shit in the kitchen.
Some Soviet intelligence shit.
Walked by. She did the whole thing. I love the mood when Mr. Kaplan just slides the knife with the foot.
That was the first step. In which she became Mr. Kaplan.
Yeah.
That was the first step.
As though she learned how to sort of be like, I'm the person who can take care of the situation.
Yeah.
Helps her out.
Yeah, absolutely. What did Red call her? Say that she had undaunted initiative.
Yes.
And I was like, there it was.
Perfect.
Right there.
Did not blink, cut his throat. She didn't blink. Nothing.
Well, that was a moment of decision making. Yeah. You know, she is very devoted. The whole point of this episode is that she is 100% completely devoted to Masha, right?
Exactly.
And protecting her at all costs, and that includes protecting her mother.
Right.
So there it is. Here's the knife.
Instead
Get her done.
It's sort of a reoccurring theme here. I mean, this is sort of how Dembe feels about Red, how Red feels about Dembe,
mm-hmm.
how Red feels about Lizzie Keene,
mm-hmm.
how Mr. Kaplan now feels about Lizzie Keene, how Mr. Kaplan at one point felt about Red. It's all about this sort of code.
Yeah.
It's sort of the honor among thieves, if you will. Like, you know, we're doing all this bad shit, a bunch of shit, but it's for it's for love and devotion.
Yes.
And so it's a really interesting thing. So yeah, the whole thing.
That was interesting that they have a pact. And she kept on saying, I have a pact with your daughter.
Yes.
Because she trusts me implicitly, completely. And I'll never break that trust.
Exactly. That's also excellent writing for setting this up for, like, that's why she was really, is a real conflict.
Yeah.
When she's going against Red.
Yeah.
You know, later on, when Red was doing all of his Red shit with Agnes. And it was a genuine, you know, conflict and a genuine problem. So that's all fascinating stuff. So she disposes of the body for the first time, and yes, it was kind of cool. Puts the gloves on for the first time, Golden Toe, which is very
becomes
cool.
Becomes a cleaner,
does a thing. you know, Katarina said she's going to kill her. She thought about killing her. You know, these things had to be done in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and Calvin breaks it down.
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly what to do. This is what you do. It's how you break it down.
I think her job description grew in that moment.
That's right. Katarina's like, okay, I'll have to kill you. You're cool. So then cut to old, Kate. Out taking poor little Lizzie for a morning stroll, and out in the old cutlass, out in the old woods, is Red Reddington.
Oh, yeah. Getting it on.
Getting it on. And Katarina Caesar.
Yep.
Kate just turns on around. And so they have a little chit-chat about it. And
didn't it seem a little bit from Katarina, who's been, you know, very cold and closed off, yeah, and like strictly to the point, it almost like she was excited to have a confidant, like a girlfriend in the house, yeah, that she could talk, sure, to about.
Yeah.
I thought that was a change in their point. Dynamic.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's the moment where they became maybe best friends.
Yes.
Because it's like, ah, oh, there's this guy.
Yeah.
You know?
This American, Kate's, it's frivolous, it's exciting, it's dangerous. It's
like, tell me about him.
Do you love him?
Yes.
Next, they're going to be painting each other's toenails and braiding each other's hair. Talking about how dreamy the American is.
If it wasn't for Red taking Lizzie away, that's exactly what would have happened.
Yep.
They needed a couple more months together. Anyway, so... Yeah, and then, now we did get a very interesting piece of information, which was kind of maybe a smoking gun, but not when, you know, is he Katarina's father? He thinks he is. And we just want the goddamn answer, with the DNA, that we want something to answer. And so she asked Katarina, well, is he? And she's like, I don't know.
I was never going to wind up with him. I didn't check it. I don't know.
Alexander, that's Red. Cool. I'm doing my thing. I'm on assignment. Shit. Yeah. Come on for me. I'm Russian spy. Checking these things. I had a baby. What do you want from me? I wanted an answer. We didn't get an answer. I know. I don't know. Oh, here it's right here. Oh, yeah. There it is.
Oh.
Okay. Sorry. My phone is now turned off. Click.
There it goes.
All right, boom. All right. So I was so, and that one thought like, oh, it was such a head fake on Bokenkamp's part when Kaplan goes, he thinks he's the father. Well, is he? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, come on.
But he thinks.
I don't know. Is it still safe to say the Red is the daddy? I don't know. Is Red the daddy, Cassandra?
I don't know.
He thinks it's the daddy. We do know at least that Red for sure thinks that he's Elizabeth's father, but doesn't know for sure. Now we can say that.
Well, back then he did.
But does he?
Does he know now?
So it's either Kirk or it's Red. But then,
it wasn't Kirk because Lizzie couldn't help him, right?
Right.
Genetically, because they weren't a match.
Right. So it must be Red.
Unless there's some other. Maybe it was that dead Russian in the kitchen.
Who
knows?
Could be him. Damn it.
I guess. All right. I don't know. I guess.
I know, Golden Tom. I don't want the goddamn blouse for nothing. Jesus. Oh, Flippo.
I never thought you should have put that damn blouse on.
I know. Flippo guilted me into it.
I know.
All right. So I thought that was an interesting scene where, you know.
I thought it was an interesting moment when Katarina's panicking and she's packing to go to America.
Yep.
And she says they saw a blonde man leaving campus.
Yeah.
Campus.
Oh, campus.
Yeah.
Interesting. Campus. Like,
that's what she called it. I don't know. She said they saw a blonde man take her off campus.
Oh. I don't know what that is.
Maybe it wasn't him after all.
Oh, it had to be Red.
Alexander Kirk is blonde.
I know what she said. Was Red? Didn't she reference him?
She said, the American?
Yes.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't either.
But he took her to America.
Yeah. And took her to America, and that was that. Kate then takes Liz, or at that time Masha, to her good friend.
Well, no, not yet. First, Katarina has to rescue Masha from the house.
Oh yeah, the burning house.
This is really integral. With the family. This is key. Yes.
So Red does have a family that did get burned down, and all that stuff with the ballerina was real.
Mm-hmm.
He was just having an affair,
I guess.
But who's Red's wife then?
We don't know.
We've never known.
Ooh.
Red's got kids with some other one. We've got to figure out who that is.
Yeah.
But the whole time we thought that same ballerina could have been Liz. And
well, we know that he had one daughter, right?
Yes.
But then he blew up the house. So did they rebuild the house after it burned down? And then he rebuilt it just to blow it up years later?
Maybe. Interesting. Don't know.
I don't know. You guys tell us.
All right. So it's great. Don't worry. Can't be anyone else. Goddamn Katarina. So then She rescues her.
From the burning house. She brings her into the motel room. Everyone's all like sooty.
Right.
Like, covered in soot. Masha has the little baby bunny.
Yes.
The little bunny. The fulcrum bunny.
Yes.
And Katarina's saying that Katarina stole her back. Says there was a fire. She says there's too many people, too much shouting and cursing. And then Masha, and she sort of trails off.
Saw the whole thing.
Well, she trails off because Masha shot someone who we thought she shot her father.
Well, I forgot who she actually shot.
And she says to her, it wasn't your fault. He was a very bad man. Oh. So who did Masha shoot?
God damn it. I don't know.
Shoot Kirk? Did she shoot Red? Did she shoot some other guy? Maybe the other father? Daddy number three?
This time to go back to season two and rewatch all that Liz hypnosis episode. And try to piece this thing together.
But in her hypnosis, she comes out and she's like, I shot my dad.
All right.
I don't know. You guys help me. Help me, please.
Okay, so that'll happen. Then it goes to L.A. You go to see my good friend, Sam.
Yes.
Right?
Then it turns out that the KGB and the U.S. intelligence has uncovered the affair that Katarina was having with Red, which makes her a traitor, I guess. And now they're going to be hot on her tail, so they have to get rid of Masha. Like, put her somewhere with someone who has absolutely no ties to them whatsoever, which also means Kate can't keep her because she's the family nanny and she's the most obvious choice. Right. So she has to distance herself completely from Masha, which means Sam.
That's right.
But now my next question when it comes to Sam.
Hey, Sam's looking pretty young in that episode,
yeah,
right?
It's looking good. Kate says to him when she's convincing Sam that he has to take on Masha / Elizabeth, that he was the only one who knew both Kat and Raymond, and you're the only one they both trusted. So did Red steal Masha and then Katarina came to steal Masha back? But now they both are in cahoots with sending this little kid to Sam
to protect her from the other forces that were trying to get Katarina.
So they've been like at odds, fighting each other, but they came together in this decision that Sam was the one that they both knew and trusted that Masha should go to. This is a question I have.
Whatever is threatening Lizzie now, that's been threatening Lizzie for the last four damn seasons in the Blacklist.
Whatever the hell that thing is.
We
still don't know what that is.
It's so bad that it caused Red to leave the federal government and become a criminal and build a criminal organization.
Empire,
in order to be able to protect Lizzie for the fury in the hell that was coming her way a solid 25 years later. Right?
I guess.
So he spent the last 25 years becoming a criminal and building this crazy empire just so he can have the power to protect.
Because the elements from Kat's past will circle Liz.
Right.
Like a pack of wolves.
So whatever Katarina was into, it's so big and so crazy.
But even though she's presumed dead, they're gonna still going to want
to get the daughter.
You know what? It's because she is royalty. Right. And there are jewels sewn into those damn corsets.
Sewn into the corset.
Just saying.
Just, all right. So that's that.
She's a Romanov.
So. She's a Romanov.
What if, after all this, that finally pays off? What would you do then?
I'm beginning to believe anything's possible at this point. I don't know where this whole Lizzie storyline is going. But, she's off. Turns out Sam's just a grifter.
Just a grifter. But he has a cute dog.
Cute dog. That Lizzie likes. And then... So then
Kat gets the call from Kate May.
Yeah.
The I love you call.
Yes.
And then presumably walks herself into the ocean, never to be seen again.
Yep.
According to the newspaper article.
Presumably. Because I think she's going to pop up.
I do too.
Yeah. But presumably walks herself in the ocean, never to be seen again.
And Kate has to disappear.
So years later, Sam calls Kate and says, I'm not supposed to call you. Everything's okay with Lizzie, but this dude wants to talk to you.
Well, before that, we have to talk about Danny Kaplan. What are you doing? What are you doing, Joe B?
Oh, God.
Annie Kaplan.
Annie effing Kaplan.
Walks into Catherine Nemec's life. And they are forever changed.
Saunters into a bar. Man. Two lesbians
and all the gin joints in all the world.
I thought that was incredibly sweet. I thought all that was sweet.
I
did too.
I loved it. I believed it.
I believed it all. I loved the moment. It reminded me of, I don't know if you're watching Black Mirror. Reminded me of San Junipero. If you haven't seen Black Mirror,
I haven't seen that one.
Check out Black Mirror on Netflix and then check out San Junipero. You know what the hell I'm talking about. So, yeah. So they had that meeting. Mm-hmm. They bonded in that moment. She told her what was going on. Kaplan was extremely
bereft
and supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And
off to Amarillo, Texas they go.
Where she's enjoying a lovely life as a coroner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's the Isles and Rizzolian Isles, if you will. Mm-hmm. And
Annie is going to Amarillo because her Uncle Nikos is a bail bondsman. And we saw Uncle Nikos before because when they were hunting down Elizabeth.
Yes.
So I kind of like that whole tie-in.
I like the tie-in,
of, like, who this guy was to her and why it was so important.
Exactly.
And why she was so, like, so attached to this man.
Exactly. Got it.
I got it. Thank you.
And then, how long does she have to hose off the guts off the table, by the way? She got a high-pressure nozzle on that bitch? Mm-hmm. Like, just, I mean, she's hosing that thing off and the guts are there. And like, all right, keep cutting back. Still guts. Cutting back more guts. I'm like, you know what? One squeegee. Whoosh, I don't want to see it. High pressure nozzle. Took too long. Anyway, I digress. It was gross. So then she goes.
She goes back to being a nanny at Annie's request.
And
brings a nice Chinese dinner.
And
bottle of wine.
They're going to have a lovely evening. And bad stuff happens.
That sucked.
She gets shot in the head. And old Kaplan gets shot. And I love
that. No, Kaplan gets shot in the head.
Yes.
And Annie gets shot, like, in the heart-ish. Annie gets shot
in the heart area.
That was so sad.
It was sad. It was really sad.
That broke my heart.
From the ground together and all that stuff. And
they had to put her into an induced coma for 3 weeks. That scene where she wakes up and Nikos is there to tell her that Annie didn't even make it to the oh look, I get choked up, and she just like wails.
And the Emmy for best supporting actor in a best guest star in a thing goes to, what's her name?
You like me? You really like me?
So good. And
I thought it was so interesting that they shot her in the head.
Well,
it makes sense because she had to get the steel plate,
which is why.
Why
the shot to the head didn't kill her.
Yep.
It all makes sense. Oh my God. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It all makes sense. Metal plate in the dome, and now that clearly Red didn't know about.
Clearly.
Because he shot her in the head, and you know, why check if she's alive? Because you shoot someone in the head, that's how it goes.
Usually don't make it.
Which made me wonder, like, God, how can you did she imagine
living
that?
A life where you get shot in the head twice?
Yeah.
That's a hard go.
That's a hard go.
That's a rough road.
She said the goodbye. It was very sad when they're on the ground lying together and she died. And then she forgot that happened. And then she had to remember it again. That was really super sad. The only part, I'm on the fence about my man saying, oh, Kaplan, you must be Mr. Kaplan.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence on that.
I liked it.
It made sense. It's kind of like Will Smith in Suicide Squad where he's like, what is this? Some kind of Suicide Squad? And you're like, ugh.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's kind of one of those moments.
I hear there's
so one. So I suppose we're moments. Some kind of Suicide Squad? Yes, Will. Anyway, I digress again. It was a little bit of that. So you must be Mr. Kaplan.
But I like how she kept the name because she loved her.
She's Mr. Kaplan. It's, mm-hmm. her, it's the way she remembers.
But do you think Red was like, all right, Catherine Nemec, what should I call? What do you want to be called on my gang?
Mr. Kaplan.
Done and done.
So then we see, fast forward, where he's recruited by Red. We get that scene. I was wondering how they do the James Spader thing, if we're going to get some weird, like,
no, I mean, there's
the
shadows.
There's no money to do the Star Wars CGI.
No.
No de-aging CGI money. No actor playing James Spader, because who's going to do that? I really wanted to see...
nobody wants that job.
The young Spader. I want Steph. I want
Steph
in the white blazer.
Popped collar. Yes. Popped
collar and the white blazer coming in, jingling some keys. But we didn't get that. We didn't get Steph from Pretty in Pink. We just got Red, which is still great.
Still great.
By the way, man's been rocking the same outfit for 25 years. I guess it never goes out of style.
Never goes out of style.
Still same old outfit. Same old Red. And you know.
Also, which I found interesting, since we've seen Kaplan be so loyal to Red up until, you know, this last year, when Sam came to tell her that Red Reddington was looking for her.
Yeah.
And she stood up. She was all up in arms, and how that man set off a chain reaction that took everything from me.
Yeah.
So she has nothing but resentment towards him. She calls him a traitor to his family and his country.
Yeah. But
so could it for be Lizzie, really that shocking? But for Lizzie, they have a pact.
They have a pact. So she goes. She builds a criminal empire with him because that's what his plan is.
Uh-huh.
To build a criminal empire, which I'm a little shaky on. We got to go. But I'm a little shaky on that whole idea, notion of building the criminal empire to protect Lizzie. But they both did it. And it both backfired in his face, in their faces. And so that last conversation with the two on the phone was very, very sobering. That last shot of, I know where the bodies are buried, of course. Got a hockey rink full of dead bodies.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was very cool last shot. And in Reds, you've been busy. I didn't get a chance to see any of the previews for next week, but I'm sure it's awesome.
I don't know. And we also got some nice throwback to Mr. Gray.
Oh, Mr. Gray.
Like our opening scene of The Blacklist where he walks into FBI headquarters where this whole thing starts.
Who we had on this very program.
Yeah, Charles Baker?
Charles Baker.
Yeah.
We had on this very season program one. 4 years ago.
Oh my God, it's been so long.
Poor guy. I was like, yeah, it's going to be an exciting run for me. I'm going to be here forever.
So now...
at least we got to see him again. I'm like, Charles Baker.
All
right, well, you never know. TV.
So now we're still just wondering what the big bad is. Right? That's what we're left wondering, what the big bad is.
I think Mr. Kaplan's going to be the next blacklister next episode.
Yeah.
And she is top five blacklister for sure.
Easy
top
five.
PS Tempe
was number 10. That was pretty big.
No predictions, but because we got to get out of here two episodes. But thank you very much. You guys are awesome. Thanks for joining us live. And Martin Golden Toe and Watson Keane and Marvin TNT and Zazu 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 times 10. Zazu. Anyway, love you all. Julia, where can kids find you?
Kids, you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram on at Joe K. Braswell. That's me.
That's you.
I love you all.
Yes,
and I'll
do.
See you next week. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.